mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes!
Hey everybody, it is time for the bullpen here on Aggie Radio, and Evan is dancing over there.
I'm pumped.
And
it's
you
good
know
to be
people
back.
People are getting really excited about his dancing. We'll turn on the audience noise. They're pretty excited about his dancing moves right now.
Man, those special effects people are really excited.
Yeah, basically. I want to thank everyone for joining us here today on the bullpen. Got a good show for you guys today. I'm excited about talking about some things we're going to talk about. Because, of course, we, as always, we'll have our wall of shame. We're also going to do a worst-case scenario for San Diego State's football team. And then we're also going to talk about the Olympics for a little bit. And then kind of some of the extremely dominant characters. But, we're going to jump into news. One thing that we had forgot to bring up last time was that LeBron James had signed his extension or his new contract with the Cavs, paid $100 million over 3 years. And so that was last week. And I didn't bring it up before, so I had to bring it up briefly right now. So baseball continuing through the grind. that August grind. They're almost getting towards the end of the season.
Getting to that point where dreams are slowly being shattered as teams realize they've got no shot. But
I feel like they should probably already have known by this point that they don't have a shot. But then maybe that's just my personal opinion.
I think it's a sport with a lot of bitter clingers. So that's
probably true. So. Also, NFL... I guess, do you have any particular games you want to talk about really quick for baseball? Because I know that you pay a lot more attention to baseball than I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the game-by-game level, not so much. I know, not really any particular games standing out this week, but...
All right. So. And I'm super excited because my main sport that I follow religiously, football... is starting up everywhere. And NFL preseason started last week, and we talked about it last Friday. But also, they had some more games last night. I thought it was interesting that the Patriots barely beat the Bears, like 22-20 or something like that. and that was after, like, last week where the Broncos just dominated them. And I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, can change it in a week.
I guess they better hope their starters don't get injured so they don't have to play the second strings that have been blowing or nearly blowing games in the preseason.
Yeah, but, I mean, either way, like, I feel it just kind of justifies my feeling that my team's going to be okay this year. They're still going to be pretty good. Yeah. Now, maybe they don't make it back to the Super Bowl. That's extremely tough, and... only two teams can make it, so.
Yeah.
I mean, but maybe they do. I mean, I hope they do. But, you know, odds are higher that they will not because of just how hard it is to get there. But that would be awesome.
Yeah. I think they'll win the division, though.
I think so, too. And I don't get the whole, the Raiders are suddenly going to be the best team in the AFC West thing. Because even if Denver doesn't win their division, I'd say the Chiefs do. Like, yeah. I don't think the Raiders are the best team in the division yet. Now, they've got a lot of young talent, and they could make a run.
But probably in a couple of
years.
But
I'm not ready to put them in there. I'd say they're at least a year or two away from really cementing their spot as one of the top teams in the AFC.
Yeah, and I would say pretty much only the Chiefs are standing in the way of the Broncos this year. So I think
the good thing is that the Raiders will actually be competitive. And this will be, like, the third time in a while. Like, they've been just awful since, like, 2000, maybe it was 2002. Whenever they went to the Super Bowl, like, the year after that, they've just been awful since. And so, I mean, it is good that one of the Broncos' rivals will be better and will actually give them a challenge. But at the same time, like, I'm not ready to say that they're better like a lot of people are. And we'll see. I mean, maybe I'm off base and maybe they will... the Raiders will be better. I sure hope not because obviously I want my team to win. But, yeah, that's definitely what's going on. And so some other news today, we got, you know, the women's soccer finals are going to be today. So we have Brazil and Canada are going to be going against each other.
Wow.
And that will, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure this soccer, it's under, hold on. Well, I don't, okay, so we know that Sweden knocked off the USA
in penalty
last
shots,
week.
Yeah.
And that was just ridiculous. Like, I couldn't believe it. Because how does that happen?
I think it's, like, just enough to, like, tie it. And then I think Sweden just hogged the ball and didn't, you know, just kind of kept it in their zone just to force the penalty shootout.
I mean, so. And that's a style of play that works for them because they don't have, like, all the most athletic players. And going to dive into a little bit about that game against the U.S. in a minute in the Wall of Shame. But either way, Sweden is in the gold medal game today. And that's going to be at 2:30, but it'll probably air like this evening on NBC. But you can probably catch it live on one of NBC's channels. But anyway, they're going to play Germany. And so we'll see how that goes. I mean, at this point, I'm kind of rooting for Sweden because, you know, they're doing an awesome job, kind of unexpectedly. And for the bronze medal game, you have Brazil against Canada.
Oh, okay.
And so it's really rare that we don't see, like, the American team in there because of how good they always are.
Yeah, I think it was, what, like, I mean, maybe we'll talk about this later, but, like, five straight gold medals going into this. Or some crazy streak that they got.
They've got, I mean, they don't have that many in a row, but I think they've played in the final for the last five times. Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, something crazy.
But they won the World Cup last year, and they were the hands-down favorites for this year. And didn't happen, obviously. But we're going to get into that in a minute. High school football has started up. Last night, Ridgeline lost to Sky Ridge. I don't remember the score exactly, but it was kind of not a great game. I know Sky Ridge was up 33-14 at one point.
One of those schools is the new one, right?
Yeah, Ridgeline.
Yeah.
Ridgeline is the new school here in the Cache Valley. And they obviously didn't have the start that they wanted, but hopefully they can turn it around next week. But it was interesting because they were two brand new schools, and they both had Ridge in their name.
And not confusing at all.
So you had Ridgeline River Hawks and the Sky Ridge Falcons.
Huh.
So you had two birds.
They're both in Cache Valley?
No. Sky Ridge is down in Lehigh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there and today Mountain Crest takes on Highland. I know that because I'm going to be calling that game for Cool 103.9.
Nice.
Along with Tommy Sorensen. So that's going to be fun. I'm pretty sure Skyview and Logan are both playing. They might be playing each other. But one of them is playing at the stadium here on campus.
Oh, cool.
Today, awesome. I believe. I'm pretty sure. I'd have to look it up to be absolutely positive. But our first game is on September 1st against Weber. So that's, you know, almost 2 weeks away, which is crazy. It's 2 weeks, but minus a day, because it's going to be a Thursday night game. And I'm super excited because we finally get to, like, see what the stadium is like. And it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Today, our men's national team plays against Spain in the semifinals, and that's going to be at 12:30. And the good news is, I guess, no, we'll get into it a little bit, but the last game against Argentina, they did kind of turn around their recent struggles.
Which is good.
Yeah, they finally showed how they should be playing. Mm. But anyway, that's kind of your quick update on kind of what's going on in the news for sports. And now we're going to go into our Wall of Shame.
Now it's time for the Wall of Shame. 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 shame.
All right, Wall of Shame time. Wall of Shame is awesome. It's a lot of fun. Basically, if you're new to the show or if you're just joining us.
Or if you've forgotten,
yeah.
Which that would be a shame.
Right? That would be.
They would deserve to be.
But here on Aggie Radio KBLU 92.3 in Logan, here on the bullpen, we like to do the segment where we take examples of people who do stupid things involved with that are involved with sports, or mostly they happen inside of like sports events. But sometimes it is just people that are just involved. A lot of times it's outside of the actual context of sports. But anyway,
yeah.
We're going to jump into this right here. I have a couple today, and Evan's got one.
Actually, I thought of the second one. Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully it's not one of the ones I had.
I don't think so, but I'll let you go first.
Okay, so the first one, Hope Solo. For calling the Swedish women's soccer team cowards.
Yeah, that...
Okay, so as we mentioned earlier, Sweden did beat our team in penalty kicks. So the way that Sweden was playing was kind of like a defensive strategy because they know how good the U.S. team is. And so what they did is they like sat back and then they would, you know, try to get a score off of counterattacks. And if you look at the stats as far as like shots and shots on goal and like possession time of possession, then U.S. had the ball way more. They controlled that game, except that they weren't able to score. And actually Sweden was up 1-0 for a while, and then they had Alex Morgan scored a late goal. I think there was like 12 minutes left in regulation, and so then they ended up going to overtime. Nobody scored the entire time during extra time, and so they went to penalty kicks, and you know, Sweden won there. If I remember, it was 4-2, but either way, Sweden won in penalty kicks. And after the game, Hope Solo, the goalie, the keeper, as if you're a soccer nut,
the keeper, as the British would say,
she said that the Swedish team were cowards and that the better team did not win that game. And while I will agree with the part about the better team not winning because the American team is the more talented team, you can't go out and call your opponent a coward.
Yeah.
When they beat you. Well, I mean, especially when they beat you. Well, you shouldn't do it ever, but especially not when they beat you.
Because it's like she may not like their strategy, but that's how teams are going to play against the U.S. If, you know,
yeah,
we just got to control the ball and we got to just not let anything.
Yeah, and it's very unfortunate because it reflects badly on the entire team. And I understand she was frustrated. And some people will argue that, you know, athletes shouldn't have to, you know, deal with the media immediately after a loss. But I think that's ridiculous because, yeah, you know, you kind of really find out how people are when you have them, when they're in the heat of the moment. I mean, obviously you can say stuff you don't mean or whatever, but to go, you still have a cooling down period after the game. And so it wasn't that she was just like right after losing and they immediately were in her face. You know, she had a little bit of time to gather herself. But why call them cowards? Because I mean, they beat you. They did a good job with their strategy. I mean,
yeah.
I don't blame Sweden for using that strategy. Obviously, it sucks because we lost and we weren't able to do it.
But it worked for them, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of how they had to do it if they were going to win. And that's what you have to do in any sport. You play the strategy that's going to give you the best chance to win. And that's what Sweden did. And granted, it's boring. And also, it is frustrating for a team that wants to attack. But at the same time, especially where Hope Solo is the one that said it, she's the goalie. Like, she's the one that is responsible for stopping them from scoring. And she didn't get it done in penalty kicks. And, you know, because you didn't get your job done, that doesn't give you, like, I mean, that for sure doubly says, you know, you don't get a say the other team wasn't better.
Well, plus her 10 other teammates on the field, it's like you have the ball for most of the game.
Yeah.
You had a higher chance to put it away, you know?
Yeah, and it just didn't work out. And it was just, I think it was probably just an unlucky game. So, Either way, she's going into the Wall of Shame for calling her opponents cowards. Mm. So, yeah. Who you got?
I would like to submit Team USA men's basketball for a place on the Wall of Shame. Not necessarily because I think they're going to lose or not, you know, win at all, because I think they will, but because of the last two games before the knockout or tournament round of the Olympics, letting both France and Serbia get within three.
Serbia.
Which, obviously, Serbia produces some good NBA players, but, like, as a...
Do they? I can't think of any one person that's from Serbia.
Vlade Divac?
Yeah, well, that's not current.
Well, yeah, not current, but, like, they have, at least in the past, they have produced some, maybe not superstars in the NBA, but they do send people on occasion. But still, though, allowing it within three for both games, a little bit too nerve-wracking for American basketball tastes, in my opinion. So, but yeah, I think, like you said earlier, they seem to have turned it around in the game with Argentina, but
yeah,
still too close for comfort.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes today with Spain. Spain's one of the tougher teams that we'll play. Yeah. And if we can continue to like play like we did against Argentina, I think we'll be in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
However, if we don't, it's not great.
I mean, I don't think they're going to... I don't think they're going to fail to win the gold. I think those two games were just so out of character, I think, for the U.S. So that's why they're one of my contributions to the Wall of Shame this week.
All right. And up next for me, we have Ryan Lochte and the other swimmers that were with him for fabricating a story about getting robbed at gunpoint while in Brazil. And now they could be facing criminal charges. Because they initially it was Ryan Lochte's mom, and this is, I think what happened was, is Ryan Lochte let things get out of control, because he was probably saying as a joke that they got robbed at gunpoint because they apparently were vandalized, like they like broke into this bathroom at a gas station or something because it was locked, and then a security guard like came and he ended up like, I guess he had his gun pointed at them at one point because, you know, they were breaking into a bathroom, and I'm guessing that maybe he said something to his family like, oh yeah, we got robbed at gunpoint, like trying to make it sound cooler than it was. And then his mom was like plastering it everywhere like, oh, my son got robbed. And then they initially denied it, and then afterwards they gave a statement saying that they were robbed, and that they didn't say that they were before because they thought they would get in trouble. And then the Brazilian police found out about it, and they were investigating, and they found a video that shows, you know, what happened from like a security camera. And it turns out they weren't robbed. They were vandalizing, breaking into a bathroom. And,
like a champion, I might add.
Yeah, and so, because they filed a false report, they held two of the swimmers that were still in the country to deal with the criminal like process or whatever. And the Brazilian police recommended that, you know, Ryan Lochte and I don't remember the other guy's name, that they had already come back to the U.S. They recommended that they be indicted for falsifying a report. And for me, it's just like so many things wrong with
one
this whole
little
story.
Fib, just one little playful twist of events.
Yeah, like
snowballs.
It's ridiculous. Like, I mean, my entry for the Wall of Shame has changed a couple times.
Yeah.
because first it was going to be his mom for making up the story, and then it was for him for lying about, like, that the story happened and not, like, telling the IOC that it didn't happen when it did. And now it's telling them it did happen when it didn't. So.
And over a gas station bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, what
Olympic
is going
swimmer
on?
To gas station bathroom to potentially a Brazilian prison.
Well, I mean, I don't think they'll send him
but
back
worst
to Brazil.
Case scenario.
But he'll probably face charges here because they're going to be like, yeah, Brazil, we're good. We got your back, but
It's not even a lie for like a good. It's not even an impressive lie. It's just like we were breaking into a gas station bathroom.
Yeah, I know. It's just stupid. And, you know, then lying about it and all that. It's just, come on, dude. First off, I mean, you're representing the United States of America. And when you do that, you just like confirm some prejudices that people already have that Trump is for sure, you know, giving everybody and confirming with everybody that we're just dumb and ignorant. And we think the world revolves around us. So, I mean, just stop. Yeah. So that was my entry for the Wall of Shame. Did you have another one?
Yeah, I had one more. I think this happened last week, but in the Olympics, judo, Egyptian Islam El Shahabi, I think is his name, was facing off against an Israeli opponent, and at the end of the match refused to shake his hand,
which is
a normal sportsmanlike
play. I mean, that's kind of what you do, like with wrestling and with other sports. Like, you shake hands at the end because, like, it's just a sport.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I definitely agree he should go on the Wall of Shame because, like, you don't disrespect your opponent and disrespect the game like that.
Yeah. Especially bringing something outside of the game, like politics and
religion.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I thought maybe it was about religion. It may have just been about politics.
I think it's like a mix of all of that, really.
And that's fine that your country, like, you don't necessarily like their country. I mean, yeah, maybe you shouldn't, like, be so upset about things. But either way, you don't have to like the guy to be respectful.
Yeah, and it was one match, you know, one match he had to face off with this Israeli opponent. But he was eventually sent home, which I think was good, and received some penalties for that. But just poor sportsmanship gets you into the Hall of Shame. So.
Yeah. All right, and now we're going to do worst-case scenarios. And this is something we started doing last week because it was just kind of the spur-of-the-moment thing where we talked about what was the worst thing that could happen with the Chicago Cubs this year.
Apparently there is a lot.
Yeah. It was a very elaborate situation. But this week we're going to do it.
And I went home and cried, so.
Cried himself to sleep every day for the last week.
I had nightmares. But anyway.
Yeah, and so this week we want to do it about San Diego State football. Because at Mountain West Media Days, like they, kind of the projections is, you know, they had the offensive, defensive, and special teams players of the year, like the preseason players of the year for the Mountain West, were all from San Diego State. And a lot of people are really high on San Diego State, and I have no doubt that they're going to win their division, the West Division. But I don't necessarily believe, like a lot of people believe, that they will win the conference outright. They think it's between them and Boise State, and a lot of people think that, you know, San Diego State is going to win it, or win the conference. And, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with them winning. I mean, I'm sure they'll be pretty good. They were a pretty good team last year. But I don't think they're as good as people think they are. And because they're one of the teams that beat us last year and beat us badly, because we didn't show up to that game. We were there, but we weren't there, you know?
Our minds were somewhere situations. Else.
Yeah, but either way, want to go through what would be like the worst case scenario for them this season. And I do this because, like, I mean, mostly because I feel like they're just really cocky, and this would just be funny.
Greek tragedy kind of justice, basically.
Something like that, yeah. And so I guess we're going to go through their schedule and say what's going to happen that's going to be the worst case scenario. Because, and granted, this isn't going to be they lose every single game because that's too easy. But what
it's
we're going to do is
actually,
they're going to get their hopes up and think that they're going to do great, and then they're just going to tank it. And so they start out their season against New Hampshire on September 3rd.
Oh.
So that's, they're going to win that game.
Yeah.
And they're going to just blow out New Hampshire. And everyone's going to be like, yeah, our team is awesome. And then they're going to play against
New Hampshire.
And then they're going to play against California Golden Bears. And they're going to win by, let's say, 14 points. So a solid win. Okay. And against the what was a good team last year, we'll see what, how they are this year without Jared Goff. But either way, they get a solid win against a, you know, a Pac-12 opponent. And then we got the week after that, they go to Northern Illinois, who is like consistently they're very good.
Yeah.
You know, they're great at running the ball. They usually win like 11 games every year. Now against not the greatest competition, but still got to recognize that they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they win that one. In a surprise fashion, they win by 21. And just like blowing it away, and they're doing awesome. And then they have their bye week. And then they come back from their bye week and they go to South Alabama Jaguars. And South Alabama, you know, a smaller school, not good. They lose that game.
On a freak last minute play, right?
We'll go with that. We'll say
some bizarre
Hail Mary.
Like
Hail Mary, like a BYU style Hail Mary. Yes. which is how they won half their games last year.
And there's a riot at the South Alabama campus for that.
Yeah, and so they lose that game completely shell-shocked because they were like looked like they were going to be this dominant team because they were just getting better and better.
Spiritual crisis because of that game.
Yeah, last year they kind of struggled through their like non-conference games, and then they like turned it on and won every single conference game last year. But this year we're saying that they win their first three, and then they just drop a bomb on themselves. and lose at South Alabama. Then they turn around and play UNLV, who's not a very good team. They're okay, they're eight, but they're not good, you know? They're solid enough that they're going to get a decent amount of wins, but they're not going to be anything special.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose to UNLV at home in San Diego. And then they're going to turn around the next week and lose at Fresno. So they're going to open up Mountain West Conference 0-3, and then we'll throw them a bone and say that they win the next week against San Jose
State.
They're
still losing sleep over that South Alabama game.
Yeah.
4 weeks after that.
Yeah, and then I mean, so UNLV and Fresno State are kind of like bottom feeders over in the West Division, which is not very good. And then you got San Jose State, which did pretty well last year. I think they went 7-5. But we say that turn around and they beat San Jose State. So they're like, okay, I think we've righted the ship. We're going to run through everybody else.
Just when you thought you were safe.
They come here to, and we just blow them out. Because last year they did the same thing to us. Like we.
So now we're pissed.
Yeah, we're pissed. And and so we end up winning that game 49-7. And so they're just like. Distraught and like their season's just down
they're
the tubes.
Crying in the locker room.
Then they go turn around and play against Hawaii, who was bad enough that they had to do a coaching change last year, and they lose.
Yes,
at home against Hawaii, and they just like can't believe how their season's going because Hawaii they haven't won yet this year, at this point in our scenario, and then Nevada they turn around and play Nevada. And Nevada's another team that's, like, it's good but not great. I mean, they're not really a threat to San Diego State. Except that they beat them.
Until now.
Except that they beat them. Then they turn around and lose to Wyoming, who has one of the worst team, probably the worst team in the Mountain West. Well, I don't know. I'd say maybe Hawaii is worse, but they lose to them as well. And they close out the season and, like, at this point, nobody cares and nobody wants to play anymore. Their
stadium is empty on Saturdays.
They play against Colorado State at home to end the season, and they get blown out by 21 points. And so the season that could have been where they thought that they could go undefeated or close to it, turns out that they only win, what was it, four games?
Coaching staff gets fired right off
Coach
the bat.
Coach Rocky Long.
Just kick to the curb the minute that season is done.
Well, I mean, with the way it was going, they might not even make it to the end of the season in this worst-case scenario.
You just have some graduate assistant coach the team for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and then Rocky Long announces that he is giving up football because of how bad things went. And
He's going to go be a sheep farmer somewhere.
And it turns out that they end up getting last in the conference a year after going undefeated in conference play and winning the conference. And this would be just a really fun situation for me as a Utah State fan. Especially the game where we beat them 49-7.
It gets better every week.
I know.
If you're not their fan.
Yeah, if you're their fan, it just gets worse and worse. And that's why it's a worst-case scenario. Because, like, their hopes are building up at the beginning of the season and just drop. And this is going along, I mean, I don't want to, like, put injuries in this situation. So we're going to say that their team was healthy and that they just failed to produce.
They're like at the top of their athleticism.
Maybe a little bit banged up, but no one is injured. Because I definitely don't want to wish that upon anybody.
See, their only injury is in their mind. Because they're like having
their egos are fractured severely.
Spiritual crisis.
You're going to need 2 years to recover that. But no, that would be the worst case scenario in my view.
All the students just stop going to games and just go to watch the Chargers. Just like, we're done. We're just going to, we'd rather watch the Chargers than this.
It's strange, you know, the attendance for the Chargers has been boosted by 20%, and lots of people are wearing San Diego State gear, so I wonder if that's an issue.
I wonder if their season collapse has anything to do with this.
I mean, the new Sheriff Stadium, are these guys still here from last night?
They're hungover and they don't want to go home.
Well, here, Bob, I'm getting word that a lot of these people have stayed. They're going to stay here until their team wins again. So we're not sure how they're going to make that work, but apparently the school is supporting them in that decision. They are going to keep it open, and they're going to make it possible for them to get food and drink and
UN relief.
Basically.
Yeah, we go to Atlanta for some comments by the Braves organization, and they're like, geez, man.
And we thought our jokes were bad.
We thought our season was in the tank.
It just makes me think of Heath Ledger's Joker. And I thought my jokes were bad. But the same thing is like the Atlanta Braves guys, the Joker being their representative. And we thought our team was bad.
I can make our season disappear.
And then you just hear boos from Atlanta because they wanted to be the failure team of the year.
They wanted to win that ESPY award. Worst team of the year.
So, yeah, that would be our worst case scenario. We're definitely going to get an intro for that because it's just a lot of fun.
And we don't apologize either.
No, I don't apologize. I mean, because, honestly, these worst-case scenarios aren't going to happen. Now, maybe they might happen to a degree, but odds of us, like, our prediction right here isn't going to happen. So I don't need to apologize.
Sports gods love us enough to have our wishes come
now,
true.
If, like, we keep doing this and every single thing that we do comes true, then I might apologize. I might not.
Or we'll just start charging money for our apparent expertise in failure.
Yeah, awesome. Anyway, I guess we'll move on from that. I want to jump into the Olympics for a bit here and kind of talk about the dominance of the USA. I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week with swimming and with gymnastics mostly because, I mean, clearly we dominated that. We have the best gymnasts in the world, and we have a lot of the best swimmers in the world. We have lots of cool things going on. I guess before we get too deep into USA dominance, I do want to share some cool stories that have, you know, happened during these Olympics. And now there's 15 moments, actually. I got these from USA Today, but I totally agree with them because they kind of compiled, like, different things that I was thinking already. So one cool thing was when Simone Manuel won the gold medal, or I guess tied for the gold medal in the 100-meter freestyle, because she became the first black woman to win a medal at the Olympics. Well, an individual medal.
Yeah.
In swimming, sorry. I need to specify. In swimming, she was the first black woman to win an individual medal. And she tied for gold with the girl from Canada. And that was Penny Oleksiak, was the Canadian. But it's awesome because, you know, if you watch the race, and it's just a lot of fun because you watch them, they turn around and they're waiting to see what happened, and you just see like the look of shock and like just like super excitement that hits her face when she realizes that she won it. And it was funny because during the broadcast they had her name as like first, and then there was another person, like the Canadian girl, had her name with Olympic record, like, and because they're like, wait, what's going on? It turns out they tied within 1/100th of a second to both do it.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, like it's crazy. There was a few times when there was, you know, people that tied within 1/100th of a second. How close is that?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. But anyway, that was super exciting.
That is pretty cool.
Of course, we have Phelps' face.
Yeah,
that was fun. If you haven't seen it, I don't know where you've been on the internet, because it's
under
everywhere.
A rock. That's where they've been.
Yeah,
under a rock.
But anyway. Chad Leclos from South Africa, kind of, I think it's more like he feels like he's Michael Phelps' rival, because I haven't seen him beat Michael Phelps in anything.
but he's obsessed about someday beating Michael Phelps.
But apparently people are trying to make this out to be some kind of a rivalry when it's clearly one-sided. And anyway, he was like dancing, getting ready before a race, and Michael Phelps is just like sitting behind him with a hoodie on and just like this look of complete disgust. And just like, what are you doing? I hate you right now. And super funny. There's lots of memes. Look it up. It was also really cool when Simone Biles, she won four medals. Or four golds. Sorry, five medals, I believe. She won all around. And she
this
won
is
the,
gymnastics, right?
Yes, okay. Gymnastics. And she's just insane. Insanely good. Yeah. So she won the all around. She won the vaults, the floor exercise, and the, what was it, the bars, the uneven bars. But she ended up falling on her beam and ended up with bronze. She got bronze after falling.
Yeah, still
that's
third,
how good she was,
third in the world
despite falling.
Fall.
yeah and she's just insanely good. She should just beat everybody.
Yeah.
But apparently she celebrated her, she brought her teammate Allie Reisman on to like celebrate with her when they went 1-2 in the all around. And like, honestly, like Reisman is way better than everybody else in the world, and we went 1-2 because you only had two, you could only put two people in it.
Oh yeah.
And so if we had more, we could get three, and we only could put two, so we went 1-2. And Allie Reisman is amazing, like ridiculously good, and Simone Biles is even better. Ridiculously. So and so Allie Reisman, if it weren't for Simone Biles, would win like all these, or well, maybe not all these events, but she would have won the all around. She would have won the floor exercise. Her floor routine is amazing. If you guys can check out highlights from those, because they're just crazy good. But anyway, she brought her up to celebrate with her when she won gold, and it was awesome because it's like shows, yeah, we're teammates still. Yeah. I mean, you see sometimes when athletes are like, they don't celebrate with their teammates because they're like, yeah, look at me, I'm the best.
Yeah, especially on like individual competitions, it can be.
Yeah.
Can be,
but like the good thing is about, especially with gymnastics, I think that, you know, teammates are way, way supportive of each other,
yeah,
and they did an awesome job. You also have it. I'm going to butcher this name, but Ibtihaj Muhammad, okay, and the U.S. women's saber team won the bronze medal. And yeah. The reason why this is cool is that Ibti Muhammad, she made history by being the first woman to compete at the Olympics wearing a hijab, because she's Muslim, and that's, they believe that they're supposed to wear that and everything. And she apparently was the first woman to compete at the Olympics wearing a hijab. So that's pretty exciting. Fiji's
yeah,
men team,
Fiji,
their rugby team, winning gold, you know, getting the first medal for their country, and they go for gold.
The entire country shutting down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is pretty sweet.
They also had Monica Puig. She's, you know, she was participating for Puerto Rico, which is a part of the U.S., but I guess they have their own team.
Yeah.
But the first ever gold medal for Puerto Rico. And so that's really cool. You also had Great Britain's Justin Rose hit a 25-yard chip shot to win the gold medal in golf.
Wow.
So, it's like clutch or lucky, one or the other.
Or British.
And, you know, Kristen Armstrong, she's a 40th, or the day before her 43rd birthday, she won a cycling event, and she, like, had pushed herself so hard that she collapsed in exhaustion, and then her 5-year-old son, like, somebody helped him over the fence, and he went over and, was in her arms and, like, celebrating with her, and she was just, like, exhausted, and she's got her son, and she was super happy because she won gold in this event. It was super awesome. You got Usain Bolt just dominating again.
I love the picture where he's looking back and grinning.
Yeah,
and they've got it like midway through the race. Like,
I beat you guys.
And like, because he knows he's that good.
Yeah. Like, oh no, oh, you can't touch me. Oh, yeah. And just he did that, and he's shattered 200 like everyone else in the 200. He didn't beat his own record or anything. And he after winning the 200, he was like, yeah, you know, it's great to win. I kind of wish I would have like set a new record, but it would have been helpful if someone was faster, like pushing me. So I don't know.
But funny. I'm going to retire now to become the Flash. I'm just going to become a superhero now.
I heard he was taking a job at Jim Jones.
He's going to run the sandwiches to
He's
you.
Apparently only the fifth fastest guy on at his store.
Freaky fast.
Yeah. Lily King did a finger wag at a picture of Russian swimmer Yulia Efimova. this was like in the past, and then they had like their feud going on and stuff, and I think Lily King...
This wasn't the same Russian who was like trying to compare steroids.
Yeah, that was her.
Oh, welcome back.
Then you had a Lithuanian weightlifter did a backflip. You know, he got bronze. He wasn't winning or whatever. He did a backflip. It was awesome. He just lifts this giant weight and then drops it, and he's like, gets so excited. He's like, yeah. And he does a backflip. And it's like, all right, dude.
Okay.
It was also cool. Adeline Cornelissen, she bowed out of dressage, which is an event with horses. I don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But she bowed out of it because her horse was sick. And she did it to protect her horse, which is awesome because, like, some people will, like, push beyond just because they're so desperate to win or whatever. But it was really cool that she was like, you know, we're not going to do the event because my horse, like, I'm going to help my horse get better or whatever.
Yeah.
You also had Sarah Robles won the first medal in weightlifting for the United States since 2000. And she took home the bronze medal. So that was exciting. Every Katie Ledecky race.
Katie Ledecky single just dang one.
So good. So good. And she just dominated everybody, especially in the 800. The 800 meter freestyle, she just... It wasn't even close. It was like Usain Bolt with the 200, except even better. Because like they showed this panoramic picture or whatever that showed her about to finish the race, and you couldn't see anybody else in the picture. It was straight up ridiculous. And then last one would be Shanae Miller of the Bahamas diving across the finish line to get the gold in the women's 400 meters. And some people are like, they had the debate, is this cheap? Like, should they be more respectful of the thing or whatever? And is it like a cheap move to win? And I say no. I say it's like showing just how competitive you are.
Yeah.
That like you're so desperate to win.
Yeah.
Like you want to win so bad that you set like... You dive, and you're gonna tear up your arms and legs when you hit the track, and you want to win so bad that you're willing to take that.
Plus, she's not getting into anybody else's lane. I mean, they still, you know, so winning. It's not everything, winning. But it is everything.
It's not everything. It's but the it only is. Thing. Yeah.
I want you to have fun, but I really want you to win.
Exactly. And so those are like some really exciting stories. There's a lot of different ones that, I mean, I'd have to look to spend more time looking up, but several examples of people who won medals for their team for the first time. And It's super exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the American team has just been so much better than everybody else. It's ridiculous. America has over 100 medals now. It might just be 100, but I know that we have at least 100. Mm. But we have 35 golds. The next best total is 58 for China. And so you kind of think, you know, we have over half, like more than half of their total in just golds. We got 35 golds, 33 silvers, 32 bronze. And so Japan, Russia, Great Britain, and China are the only teams that have more medals than we have gold medals. We've got 15 more golds than China. We also have 17 more silvers than China and 10 more bronzes than China. China's, you know, the second best when it comes to getting bronzes.
They're second best at third place.
You guys can't even get third place. Like, you can't control that. So, you can't even do third place well. Just kidding.
Abe Lincoln's over here like, dang. Keep winning.
It's amazing. There's, like, how dominant our team is in, like, every category, basically. You know, our women's team should have won. Our men's and women's teams should win in basketball.
Yeah.
When I said our women's team, I was meaning soccer. I didn't continue out that thought. Yeah. Our women's soccer team should have won. Our men's and women's basketball team should win.
Yeah.
The women's team has been dominant.
It's almost sad watching other countries playing us in basketball most of the time.
Almost.
Except for, you know, France and Serbia for some reason.
And Australia.
Australia. They're,
but I don't necessarily think... I mean, obviously they played hard and everything, but I think the bigger issue was just that we weren't playing like we should. And, well, yeah, so I mean...
At least it's not 0-4. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
It's not 0-4 by a long shot.
Yeah, no. I mean, I guess it could turn out to be, but...
Worst case scenario.
Yeah, I'm not going to do worst case for that because it's very realistic.
Especially after... I think with France, I was like, okay, well, France is a... You know, they're a big modern nation. And, you know, maybe they're not as bad as I thought. But then it was the Serbia game, and I was like, I'm a little worried now.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. But I think that they finally decided to pull their heads out of their butts and are going to do better. But, yeah, just one thing that was crazy is our women's 400-meter hurdles, we swept. We got first, second, and third. And I think that we hadn't gotten even a medal in that before. And we swept it this time. So it's just like a lot of crazy things going on. It's always cool when you hear these like small countries that get their first medal. I don't have any specific examples right now, but
yeah, but I know it's happened a few times actually this year.
Yeah. So. But anyway, the Olympics are almost over and we're going to have to do a bit more of a recap and say like, see if we can find all the different like firsts, that are going on. But yeah, so I think the Olympics are great. They're almost over now. I think they got 2 or 3 days left.
Yeah. 2 or 3 days left to continue getting gold.
So. Gold winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a lot of fun. Super excited that football's starting up. It's going to be great. And we're all out of time, though. Do you have any last thoughts that you want to share?
No. I think we're good.
You're too cool for that?
Yeah, a little bit too cool.
All right. Yeah. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening here to The Bullpen. If you want to check out this podcast, it will be up on the website in about 5 minutes. But I want to thank you for listening. If you've got any feedback, anything you want us to talk about, just tweet us at USU Bullpen And you can also, you know, tweet at me personally, at EthanChadwick15. And I got at EvanHall62.
Yep.
I remembered it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you've got any feedback, comments, anything you want us to share, also make sure you check out the poll that I put out yesterday on our Twitter account that is asking, you know, who you think will win the Mountain West this year. We've got the options Boise State, San Diego State, Utah State, and other. And if you've got anything in particular, I also want you to share your predicted records for it. So make sure you check that out. But once again, I want to thank you guys for listening.